Our text for this evening is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is God's inerrant and infallible word, which we do well to pay close attention to. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. And let's pray. Our gracious and almighty God, we ask you, our Lord, that you would open the truths of your word to us and us to the truths of your word. Through your Holy Spirit, our Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to understand your word and, our Lord, the desire to obey. We do pray in Christ's name. Amen. The eighth chapter of the book of Romans, the first two verses of which we'll be studying tonight, contains some of the most glorious, reassuring, and comforting words in all of Scripture, in all of the Bible. We have here a real rival for the comfort that can be found in the 23rd Psalm. There are some glorious things in this chapter, and indeed, it opens even with something most glorious. Here, in these words, is some honey for the soul. Let's study God's word. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is, or there is therefore. Either way, the verse is really opening, beginning with a therefore. Now, I'm sure you've heard it 100 or 1,000 times. When you come to a therefore in a scripture, what's the question you ask? What is it there for? In asking that question, we understand that the idea is that of because of. So how far back is this reaching? How far back in the book of Romans is this therefore reaching? Because of what is there no condemnation? Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? Yes, absolutely. This therefore looks back to that. That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Because in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Yes, of course. Romans 1:17. Because in the gospel, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of God himself in human form, in human flesh, has been imputed, credited to the one having faith in the same Jesus Christ. Yes, definitely. That's Romans 3:21 and 22. Because in the gospel, all of the sins of the one with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are forgiven, their penalty having been paid by Christ in his death on the cross. Yes, certainly. This therefore looks back to that. That's Romans 3:23 to 3:26. Because in the gospel, all of this is a free gift. A free gift of grace had through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and his saving work alone. No works added, as seen in the examples of Abraham and David. Yes, unquestionably. It's Romans chapter 4. Because in the gospel we have peace with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, without a doubt. Romans 5. Because in the gospel we have been washed of the filth of sin, symbolized and sealed to us in baptism. And that sin will not be master over us. Yes, assuredly. Romans 6. Because in the gospel we have been released from the law of God as a means of righteousness, as a widow is released from her husband. Yes. Unequivocally. All of these things ring true to us. We can quickly respond with an amen. Of course, there is therefore now no condemnation because of all of these positives, all of these benefits, all of these benefits of the gospel. But our therefore is looking back to other things as well. We see the beginning of this other target of the therefore in chapter 6, where Paul begins to talk about the believer's conflict with sin. The call to not let sin reign in your mortal body. 6:12. And to not surrender to sin as a slave master. 6 verses 15 through 22. From this, it might be possible to assume that there is therefore now no condemnation because of success in this mortification, this killing of sin. And there is success in this. We must be aware of that, acknowledge that. But it is not the bottom line, is not the foundation. The mortifying, the killing of sin is a fruit of being in the place of no condemnation, not its cause. Galatians 5:17 tells us, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." And Paul gives a fuller view of this in Romans 7, verses 14 to 23. With assurance that Paul knows the law is good and spiritual, and that in the inner man he wants to obey it, and yet he finds himself doing the very things he does not want to do, and not doing the things he wants to do, because of the sin remaining in him. The point is that even more than success, which there certainly is and needs to be, even more than success, than victory in the war against sin, the issue is being in the war, of having the war, of having the conflict, of experiencing the war with sin. It's old, but used often because it's effective. A fish does not know it is wet as it swims in the water. It's just the normal state of affairs. The normal state of things. The unsaved sinner has no conflict with sin. It's normal. It's the way things are. It's the way of life. He or she has no real awareness of sin, not in its true nature. Oh, there may be a reluctance to experience the consequences of getting caught doing something culturally unacceptable. I have to pause here and ask, in our culture at this point, is there much that's left in that category that would, if it were known, that would bring shame? Sadly, I'm afraid there isn't. But still, there is that idea of being caught doing something that would bring shame by virtue of being seen in the culture, being identified as having done such a thing. But there's no awareness of sin, as an offense against God, or as a transgression of or lack of conformity unto the law of God. Some anxiety about cultural things, being caught doing something that would bring shame. Yes, okay. But no awareness of sin as an affront against God and as a violation of His law. A primary indication of your being in Christ, of being saved, is finding this war with sin swirling around and in you. Because of the conflict, yes, because of the conflict, there is no condemnation for you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for all those in Christ, beginning at the point of their being engrafted into the vine, being brought into Christ, and extending into all eternity. There is no condemnation. We who are in Christ have passed from condemnation into vindication. From condemnation to justification, from death to life, in and because of Christ and His saving work, all by faith alone. To God alone be the glory. How? Because the Lord Jesus Christ took the condemnation of each and every one trusting in Him and His saving work alone. He took it on Himself. The condemnation, the wrath of God, your sin earned for you has been propitiated, has been satisfied, has been expended on the Lord Jesus Christ. He took it for you. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. In Christ, you have been tried, condemned, executed, and resurrected. In taking the condemnation you deserve on Himself, He has removed it forever from you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of all Paul said in all that has come before in this book, there is now and never will be any condemnation for all those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone. And that is some glorious good news. But there's another side to this. Just as with this illustration is almost getting to be unusable at this point. Just as with cassette tapes. Anybody still remember what a cassette tape is? Or how about this? Phonograph records. Vinyl, discs, big ones, little ones, 45s, 33s. Just as with all these things, there's a B-side. There's an A-side and there's a B-side. Well, we've just seen the A-side of Romans 8:1. But there's a B-side. The B-side is that this... Beside this is that all of those not in Christ Jesus through faith alone in Him alone are under condemnation, under the condemning judgment of God for their sin guiltiness. They are, so to speak, hanging over the flames of eternal condemnation, suspended by a thin thread of mortal life. Suspended on that thread from the hand of the God they have so infinitely offended by their sin. That thread will burn through. It is already smoking. And perhaps with no warning, even instantly. Are you hanging, dangling like that? Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on Him, believing. And there will then be no condemnation for you. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. First side road. If you have a King James Version or a New King James Version of the Bible, and I know that's the Pew Bible here, you are wondering, or perhaps you're wondering, or you may already know the answer to this, but perhaps you're wondering, what happened to who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? It was not part of the original text here, as shown by the earliest and the best manuscripts. This is confirmed also by the fact that when the words in question are in a manuscript at this point, they are not all there all the time. It's added in pieces. The copyist's edition came in two pieces. Who do not walk according to the flesh appears, and then, but according to the Spirit, appears at another time. This was probably pulled up from verse 4, where it is clearly part of the original. This is important. Why? Because this addition here can be confusing. It could be thought that our walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, was the cause of, or part of the cause of, our no longer being under condemnation, when in fact it is our no longer being under condemnation, our being saved, regenerate, born again, that is the cause of our not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking, that is, living This way is a result of being in Christ and therefore safe from condemnation, not a requirement for being in Christ and safe from condemnation. Let's get back to the main road. For or because, this is explanatory of verse 1, because the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life here is clearly God, the Holy Spirit. Just as clearly, He is the giver of life, both physical and spiritual. He is life itself. But what is this law? What is this law? Law is not always only rules and ordinances, but it can be a regulating and inciting power, as in the law of sin which is in my members that Paul speaks of in Romans 7:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So the law of sin is also the law of death. The law of sin in my body incites me to sin, puts sin into action. The law of the Spirit mitigates against, sets us free from the law of sin and death. This law, this regulating and inciting power of God the Holy Spirit, is setting us free from this regulating and inciting power of sin. To quote John Murray, "It is eminently appropriate that the Holy Spirit should be designated as the Spirit of life, because the power He exercises is unto life, as distinguished from the power of sin, which is unto death." The law of the Spirit of life is therefore the power of the Holy Spirit operative in us to make us free from the power of sin, which is unto death. The verse continues with "in Christ Jesus." This is all only in Christ. It is only when we are united to Christ through faith that this powerful working of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. All right, let's review and add some more application. We are told here that we are, in the Lord Jesus Christ, entirely free from all condemnation. God is not angry with us now, and we have nothing to fear in the final judgment. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we are told that in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit has set us free from the power of sin and death. Okay. But we said that in Romans 7:14 to 25, Paul was speaking of himself as a Christian when he said he was sold into bondage to sin. Evil is present in me and a prisoner of the law of sin. If Paul is saying that in 7:14 to 25, have we not misinterpreted that passage or the one we're presently looking at? How do we reconcile this? No, how well is the Christian life described for us here in Romans 7:14 to 25? Oh, we know the good we should do, but we fail so often to do it. But not always. But not always. Though we sin often, we do not always sin. There is freedom from the power of sin, though only partial now. Oh, we know the evil we should not do, but we so often do it. But not always. We do, at times, successfully resist the doing of evil, of sinning. And as we are in Christ longer, that should happen more frequently. We have been set free from the all-controlling power, the law of sin and death. Not yet fully, but yet truly. And another side road. This is one of the reasons why that more law is not the answer to ending a sin problem. If we already know what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do, telling us again that what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do is not going to help. Can we talk? Why do we sin? Bottom line, why do we sin? Not theoretically.
Because we like it.
Because it's what we want at the time. It may not be what we want a minute before, and as Christians, it's certainly not what we wanted a minute after. But at that moment, it's what we wanted. So how do we combat sin?
With grace.
We need something that is more enticing to us than the sin is. And is that not the gospel? Is it not grace? It seems from Paul's patterns, the pattern of Paul in his letters, that whenever there's a problem, his first course of action is to return to the gospel, is to return to grace. It seems that he feels that most problems, if not all, that most problems within the church or within someone's life, sin problems in the Christian's life, have to do with a misunderstanding of the gospel. Because that's what he does first. He re-explains that before he does anything else. End of the side road. Back to the main highway. Before we were brought to faith in Christ, we were not really able to not sin. We were entirely bound by the law of sin and death. And frankly, we were cool with that. But since being brought to faith in Christ, we are able to not sin. Oh, we still sin, and that bothers us. We feel the binding power of sin tugging on us and do not like it. But we can and do gain victory in some of the battles. We do win. We have been set free and are being set free from the law of sin and death by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Lord Jesus. Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all going on in the life of the believer at the same time as they were in the Apostle Paul. This will continue to be the case until we leave this life through death or the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The war with sin will go on. We will continue to have to labor at killing, at mortifying sin under the promise of God that sin shall not be master over you. Romans 6:14. And that is a promise. It's not a command. It's not an imperative. It's an indicative. Sin shall not be master over you. This is a war we will not win in this life. We will even feel an enslavement, a bondage to sin, as Paul expressed in Romans 7:14-25. But we do gain victories. Not as many as we would like. And progressively we will win more. And when we leave this life, we will have the complete victory. Not only will we be entirely free from the power of sin, which we are being progressively freed from now, but we will also be freed from its even very presence. Freed now in Christ from its penalty entirely, being freed from its power progressively now, but then entirely, and even freed from its presence for all eternity. What a glorious future. But the conflict with sin, that conflict, that war, that battle, is an indicator that God the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And a glorious eternity is assured to us. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Are you frustrated with your lack of progress in defeating sin in your life? Are you unhappy with the progress of your sanctification? There's a sense in which that's good news. We are in a dangerous place if we think we are not sinning. What does John say about that? If we say we have no sin, we are what? We are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in fact, he says that we're not Christians. If we deny, we continue to struggle with sin. The struggle with sin shows that the Spirit of life is at work within you. Are you content with your growth in overcoming sin in your life? Are you content? Again, are you content with your growth in overcoming sin in your life? That is the dangerous place. That, indeed, is the dangerous place. We ought not ever be satisfied so long as there is any sin left in our lives. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the conflict with sin is part of the indicator of our being in Christ. Are you frustrated with your lack of progress in defeating sin in your life? Again, in a sense, that is good news. In a sense, that's good news. You think about that. Amen.